global temperatures are warming so fast that researchers now say mountain snowpack in the western United States could disappear completely in the next century. A winter without snow would have devastating consequences on the environment and on the lives of millions of people who live there. But the possibility comes as no surprise to journalist Porter Fox. His new book is called The Last Winter, and he went to some of the coldest places on Earth, places like Alaska, the Alps, and Greenland, to find out how they've warmed and what effect that's having on the planet. Porter Fox joins me now. Porter, welcome back to Here and Now.
Thanks for having me.
You write a lot about the cryosphere, and that was a word I had never heard of before. So why don't you start there? What's the cryosphere?
The cryosphere is kind of all the places most people don't want to go. It's where you'll find water in its frozen form. So we're talking about the poles, glacial regions, largely up way up north.
You say that most people wouldn't want to go there. I get the sense that actually this is a part of the globe that you would want to go to, that is actually personally important to you.
Yeah, I think I was kind of forced into it at first. I grew up in northern Maine and really got hooked on skiing at a young age. And so I ended up traveling around, doing a lot of ski mountaineering and kind of looking for snow and ice. I actually used to go to the local library and look at a relief map of where the white daubs of paint were.
So that might explain why you have a kind of a fundamental question in this book, and that is, what happens if those little white dots on the map disappear, if the cryosphere goes away?
Exactly. I mean, I first saw it when I was skiing in South America in the Andes, and you would see these glaciers retreating so quickly. This is back in the 90s. And my initial concern was, well, what's the future of skiing like? And I wrote about that a fair amount. But as I researched, I really started finding these massive, wide-scale, global effects, things like snow and ice providing the primary drinking water supply for 2 billion people around the world, about how snow and ice reflect 80% of the sun's solar radiation back into space. And once it melts, dark earth and water absorb all of that heat, radically increasing warming. There were so many effects like that that I really focused on that in this book and what it really means to the planet if we lose this fairly fragile buffer of ice and snow that has been kind of protecting our climate.
Well, to answer that question, you kind of hop around the globe. One of the first places you go is in Alaska, where you're meeting people who are studying the glaciers that are melting, and they're drilling into those glaciers to pull out these ice cores, which gives us this really fascinating glimpse into history. What kind of stories did the ice tell you when you were in Alaska?
Oh, it was incredible. Like, just talking to the drillers was really the most fascinating part, because they've drilled in Antarctica and all over. They were drilling around 300 meters in Alaska at the Juno Ice Field Research Program. But hearing about drilling in Antarctica, where they're going for million-year-old ice, and what they're really looking for is what's trapped in that ice. It freezes air bubbles and ash smears and salt blowing off the ocean and all of these isotopes and things that they can piece this puzzle together of what the atmospheric content was, what temperature it was. They can kind of map weather in the ancient past by finding it in these ice cores. And they're melting so quickly that there's a race on right now to drill as much and as deep as humanly possible before that ice vanishes and all of that climatic evidence vanishes with it.
You also went to the Alps in Europe, of course, and you write that it's one of the fastest warming mountain ranges on the planet and that nearly every glacier under 11,500 feet will be gone in the next 2 to 3 decades.
It's shocking over there. As one of the oldest alpine civilizations, these people have lived in the mountains en masse for 5, 6, 10 generations and have seen in just kind of their local lore glaciers come and go. Well, now every glacier is receding. Half of the glacial ice in the Alps has vanished since the 1800s. The permafrost that holds together a lot of the mountains and all of the ski area summit regions is melting, and those are starting to fall apart. Parts of the Alps are warming at three times the global rate. And it's affecting not just that region, but this very old lifestyle, millions of people and the $30 billion ski industry and whatnot. But really, it's the heart of Europe that is just radically changing. And people are kind of wondering how they will survive in that warmer world.
Why is that area warming faster than other places?
It's largely due to the Gulf Stream that kind of artificially warms Europe. It is a fairly northern region, but with that warm water and storms blowing off of the ocean, it tends to heat up quite a bit quicker.
I'm speaking with Porter Fox. He's the author of the new book, The Last Winter. And in Porter, one of the most vivid scenes from the book was from Greenland. At least this is in my opinion. That night that you spent in a tent sleeping in the Arctic Circle sounded just incredibly, incredibly cold. First of all, what was that like?
It was really cold. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, I've done a lot of winter camping. But when I noticed that we were setting up tents and not going into a little hunting camp, which they have up there, some insulated hunting camps we had been sleeping in, I was like, oh boy. But it was a really clear night, and the northern lights came out like I have never seen before. These giant green twisted ropes of light just kind of waving over the tent. And there was no wind, and you could hear the dogs. They circled the dogs around the tents. It kind of dissuades the polar bears from approaching camp. And you could hear them kind of panting and breathing. And man, I just went completely into my sleeping bag, cinched it over my head, and just waited till morning.
You know, I think it can be hard to wrap your head around what's happening in Greenland. We've been reporting on this, the melting that's going on. There's new research out that shows that 3.5 trillion tons of ice has vanished from Greenland since 2011. So, like, how did you observe that in this place that most people have never been to and don't really realize how important it is to their lives, no matter where they live?
It was mostly through talking to folks that had been there for, you know, a few generations, and some of the older dog sled, really they were seal hunters mostly, who used to hunt across the fjords, across the sounds, and they're water now. And you can't take your dog sled across it. I mean, it's gone from waiting until winter when everything froze and you could go almost anywhere on the east coast of Greenland where I was, to now they wait for spring because it's most times too slushy or just open water in the winter. And so they wait for spring and they've gotten fishing boats and they put an outboard on it and just completely changed the way that they hunt and provide for themselves. But I mean, there are glaciers there that you can watch move under your feet. They're moving that quickly. And they've been doing that for a while. What's new is how quickly they're receding, how fast they are melting. It feels like every year the record continues to be broken. I mean, back in, probably the 1990s or so, where they said, you know, the island is losing the equivalent of an Olympic swimming pool of ice every second, you know, back in the mid-90s. In 2020, they did the study again. That number had increased ninefold to 234 billion tons a year. It's impossible to conceive of that much ice, but when you're up there and you see how much is there, it is just astonishing to think that it could be completely gone in a few centuries. And if that does happen, you're looking at over 20 feet of sea level rise around the world. Wow. So it would be devastating.
And then you go home from these trips to your life in New York and life kind of feels normal and it doesn't really seem like the crisis that it most certainly is. And I know this was a personal book for you. As we said, you're someone who's drawn to the cold, who it seems like is very much restored by winter. How are you feeling after having written this? What's your takeaway?
You know, my takeaway, it really crystallized when I had my daughter and I started thinking about what her life was going to be when she was in her 30s and 40s and climate change was like really, really kicking in. And it was kind of terrifying, you know, not just the fact that she doesn't get to enjoy winter and that beautiful peace and solitude of a winter snowstorm or skiing or snowshoeing through the woods. You know, it really became more about these issues of water scarcity. Parts of the world where these giant water towers, 70 some odd water towers, feed 2 billion people around the world with fresh water. When they're gone, there's no replacement for that. There's no plan for that right now. And it's happening faster and faster than you think. So those are the things that worry me the most and make me feel like this kind of stable climate we've had for 10,000 years in which human civilization has really blossomed and prospered could be slowly coming to an end.
The new book is called The Last Winter. Porter Fox, thank you so much for talking to us about it. I do appreciate it.
Thank you, Peter.
You can read an excerpt of Porter's book or see a few pictures from his travels. That's at hereandnow.org. That's also where you can find all of our climate coverage from the past week and more.